All right. Father God, just if you would, Father, still and quiet our hearts today. Many missing, Father, today, and as parts of our body, since we are one body in Christ, Lord, we do miss them. Be with them, keep them safe, keep their traveling safe, Lord. But those of us right here in your house this morning, open our ears, Father. Still our minds from the noise that has come in all this week that has assailed us, Father, on so many fronts. Let us hear your voice. Let the world remain silent while you're on the throne, Father. So open our understanding through your Spirit today for what you have for us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're in Hebrews chapter 1, what we were looking at in the past week, or well, I guess it's only 1 week so far, was all of the points and the purposes and why Hebrews was written. And one of the purposes that I don't think we addressed last week was the Lord wrote this through his Spirit to whoever penned this. We went through that. Some say it's the Apostle Paul. Some say that it was, you know, we have all these different ones. But ultimately, God wrote it. And I feel that he wrote it to the Jewish Christians at the time that this was written, 63 to 69, there's arguments, A.D., about when, to warn them of the approaching fall of Jerusalem. Not only the excellency, which is the very top of this, the excellency, the supremacy, the divinity of Jesus Christ, but to warn them of the approaching fall of Jerusalem, which hadn't happened yet, but, oh, they thought they were going to stand. They thought everything was unshakable, and in just one fell swoop, the Roman army came in. Everything that they stood on was taken away. I feel that since God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's got us in here for a purpose. And for any of us who are standing on anything else than Jesus Christ, we're on shaky ground. It's a warning. He's not only showing us that Jesus Christ is better than, as we're going to see, 13 times he talks about being better than the angels, better than this and better than that. What we need to see is right now is that we, those of us who are in Christ, who have surrendered our hearts to him, made that statement of faith, you know, and I don't mean to have it sound like I'm knocking it, but I, oh, you know, the sinner's prayer, I wonder what is that? Where do we get some of them? I've heard pastors pray for like 7 minutes with a person for the sinner's prayer. I've heard other people just yell out, oh, God, forgive me. That's a sinner's prayer if it's meant from the heart. And what we have to see is that God, as this is telling us, his son Jesus, we serve a God who speaks. Amen. What? Amen. We serve a God who speaks. Now, some people, you know, outside of the realm of faith would say, you're listening to God. Woo, you know, and I myself will honestly tell, I hear voices, don't you? Some of them, you know, they're my, oh, really? If you're visiting today, you'll get to know me. I hear voices. I hear things that sometimes I think, wow, that's right on. Well, where's that one? Where'd that one come from? Was that me or was that you, God? But then there's other times that God speaks, period, amen. Is it audible? I don't know. Is it inside of us, in our spirit, in our conscience? Is it in there? No matter how, I want to make that point today that as we look at verses 1 through 3, we'll never get to 3 today, but let's hear this one thing and try to understand it, and that's the fact that God speaks. God, verse 1 in Hebrews, God who at sundry times, thank you for opening, let's open them all and open the doors. So look, they're stopping to hear what God is saying. So let him hear it. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, or various times, various ways, we said that, God spoke, underline it if you don't have it already, if you don't have a pen, borrow one. Please, this is something that before we start to mine the depths of Hebrews, we have to understand, number one, that God speaks. And then what are those things that he's speaking to us so we can discern his voice? So God, who at sundry times, diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, we saw that. We saw Moses and we saw Elijah, and what a great story. I hope you maybe went home with that a little bit more about God speaking to Elijah. He was in a cave. Some of us today, as we said last week, we've put ourselves into these self-imposed caves and prisons. We've run from just words. And we haven't listened to the God who speaks telling us, "What, Doug, what are you doing here in this cave?" And I want him to crack the heavens, don't we? There was one time I wanted God to speak to me so bad. And some of you know I caretake a ranch. I was literally out there taking hay bales and throwing them up in the air, saying, "Would you just speak to me?" And all of a sudden I realized, just like Elijah, He's not going to yell over me. He's not going to yell over my opinions. Just like Elijah, he'll speak in a still, small voice. When you and I get away or out of the cave, get away from the problem, get away from those things that are so tyrannical in our lives that they control us, God will speak. How do I know it? It says it right in here. You believe that? Yeah. Why? Because God told me. I mean, just the, you know, simplicity. So as we look at this, again, God speaks. Speech, what's speech? Communication. Without speech, what I'm doing right now would be impossible, right? No, we have sign language, but that's a form of communication. But just verbal. Verbal. What's the point of speech in our communication? And I started to think about that. Well, it's to inform us. It's to instruct us. It's to entertain us. And forgive me, because there's some sermons, you know, I'm not here to entertain. But speech, in a sense, does entertain us. God is a joyful God. He's a happy God. And sometimes when I try to represent that, it brings entertainment, I hope. It probably brings frustration and whatever else thoughts come in, but it entertains us. And at the very end of communication, it is to persuade us. Persuade. So you and I, in our speech to others about this God who speaks, you can't convince somebody of that. You can just persuade them. And if I can convince you that God speaks, there's going to be somebody a whole lot more eloquent than Doug Gibney that's going to come along and show you how God does not speak. It's a figment of your imagination. So today that decision is going to lie with you and I. But again, as it just says in 2, God, who spoke in these times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, and we are in the last days. That's it. In the time he went to the cross, gave his life for us, all this time up to today. And if we have tomorrow, praise God, we are in the last days. He has spoken to us by his Son. So if you want to hear God speak, how? Quiet, number one. Off by ourselves, or maybe with somebody else, that's always helpful. But to get quiet, to get the world out of us, we need to listen to Jesus. The best way, again, is his word, getting into this word. As we saw last week, Jesus Christ is the word of God. It's not another word. It's God manifest in the flesh, telling us humans everything that we ever wanted to know, everything we ever wanted to see. And what he is doing when he speaks is exactly what we just said. He's informing us. He's instructing us. I look through the parables and some of his stories. That's entertainment for me. You open it up and read it. It's just like, it's way better than watching, you name what you watch. After you get, who? Oh, I thought I heard Fox Network. I thought I heard. But it's to persuade us that God is true. God is yea and amen. The things that he says will come to pass. That he is the fulfillment of everything that the scriptures all said through the ages. And he said that so many. How many times did he tell them? You know, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they speak of me. I feel that we can find Jesus Christ on every page of this Bible. Amen. The Old Testament is God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit concealed. The New Testament is God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit revealed to each and every one of us. So the God who speaks, turn to Exodus, put something in there. Turn to Exodus chapter 20, if we would. So God speaks. I need to open a window. At the ranch this morning, it was blowing and cold. I put on a long sleeve shirt, and I'm already starting to go. Apologize for that. There we go. Boy, I had this urge to yell, come on in, anybody can honk. Exodus chapter 20, the God who speaks. Again, if you're visiting today, controlled rambler. I get it out there somehow, some way God breaks through. But in Exodus 20, just starting with the God who speaks and the things that he speaks, I want us to, I guess if we can subtitle it, what does he speak? He speaks that he loves us. Let's start with that. We see a lot of rules. We see a lot of regulations. We see a lot of don't do this, don't do that, we see in the Bible. But what I want to show each and every one of us today is what he started to reveal to me. That I'm speaking because I love you. And that's what I'm saying more than anything. So in Exodus 20, he says, listen to the word of God. I might have to close that. And God spoke all these words, the God who speaks. I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And you know, we might say, well, he was speaking in the Old Testament. He speaks the same today. And not everything is to us, but everything is for us. It has an application in our lives. So when we look at that, the land of Egypt, that's just this world. Leeks and onions and spam. But he brought us out of bondage. He brought them out of bondage also. Each one of us had our own little form of bondage, one way or the other. We categorized them. Well, this is the worst, and this is probably way down here, doesn't even matter, but we were all in bondage at one time to at least the fate of death. And God loved us so much that he spoke to us to try to change that, to show that we do have an eternal destiny, whether it be with him or whether it be separated from him. And he says in verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What a statement. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. We sure broken that one. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God. And I am a jealous God, visiting, and you know, I'm going to put that in because I think there might be a misunderstanding, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You know, this is this curse of the generations. Boy, is it, you know, my mother and father, my uncle, my grandfather, is it besetting me? No. Because if we go a little bit further, it says, and showing mercy in verse 6, unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I feel that curse that we're so worried about God being so angry and God just waiting for me to step out of line. That gets broken the moment we say, God, I understand you love me and this is for my best. So the God who speaks, that's what he spoke right away. But he spoke love in this. Not harshness. First time that love was mentioned, I think, is in Genesis 22:2, when he said, take your son, the son that you love, and give him to me. So this is not a new concept. And God started in the very beginning. And God spoke in the very beginning. We can go into Genesis 1. It says, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. He just spoke things into existence. But when it came to Rick, you know, I'll use it. But when it came to Rick and Doug, the Hebrew word is vayetzah, I think, in there. He molded. He loved us so much, he started putting us together in a different way. And I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. And I've got a plan for you. And the thoughts I think to you, they're good, with an expected end. Nothing evil in it. The God who speaks is saying this to you and I today. Turn to Psalm 135. And we'll turn a lot today, a lot more than normal, I think. But what I want you to hear and what I want to hear is that God is speaking. In Psalm 135, we were talking about these. He spoke, I'm a jealous God. Jealousy is because you love somebody generally, or it should be. And you want the very best for them. And God is saying there's so many other gods out there. But are they really gods? He says in verse 15 of Psalm 135, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold and the work of men's hands. Now we look at today, and this God who speaks, who's trying to speak to everyone. See, this isn't something that's elitist. He's trying to speak to anyone who has ears that's willing to hear. But there is a world of individuals spinning out of control that unfortunately they haven't heard God speak. Nobody's told them how much God loves them. And they're gods in a sense, or we're calling them idols in the King James. Here they're silver and gold and the work of men's hands. Cars, homes, bank accounts, stuff of the earth that isn't going to go with us. God, when he speaks, talks about these other idols, these other gods, and says they don't have mouths. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. And the first thing that he did when he molded was there was breath that caused life that came into the first man. Wow. This is the God that is trying to open himself to each and every one of us this morning. Isaiah, as we're turning back to Hebrews, turn to Isaiah chapter 1. God who speaks. So I'll let him speak for himself. He says in verse 18, come now, let us reason together. How do you reason without speech? It's almost impossible. There's always two sides to every coin, supposedly. I feel there's three. There's the heads, the tails, and the edge. But how do you reason with someone unless you speak? And this is God asking each and every one of us, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. What's he saying to us? He's saying, I love you. I love you. There's a problem that every one of us has, and I can settle it, is what God is saying. There's sin. Are our sins on us, or are they on the Lord Jesus Christ? And if they're still on us today, he's saying, let's talk about it. I'll speak to your heart. I'll show you the way that we each should go. Turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Verse 1 says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Just put up with it for a little bit is what Paul's saying. And, you know, here I am saying that God speaks, and we're trying to see how he did it and what he's speaking. But I feel Paul says it the best in here, because this is a problem that is probably assailing each and every one of us today in one of the situations that we might find ourselves in. Is God really listening to my prayer? Does God hear me? Does God care? Is God going to do something about this? When, God? How long, God? We make it so difficult. And Paul says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, and I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear," and this is what I fear in my heart, not only for the body that God has put me in charge of, but I fear it for myself. "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety," and the things of Satan are so subtle, and sometimes they take so long in our understanding of time to come to fruition, we just miss what God is saying. "But I fear," as he says, "by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety." And what was his subtlety? I mean, it wasn't just blatant lies, was it? What did he say? "Oh, surely God hadn't said that." Why did he go that way? Because God speaks. And what he says, he means. And what he means, he says. And there shouldn't be any question about it. "So the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety," just a little trick, if you would, "so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." This is so simple, what we're hearing today, that a little child, I wish we can all peek in the window of what Pat's doing right now. These kids don't go over there and question. "Oh, you sure? I never heard him speak. Oh, well, he's not taught. When he tells me, I'll listen." I mean, I've had Taffy tell me things that at first you sit there and say, "Okay, I'm going to wait on this." And sure enough, it comes to pass. Mm-hmm. Not because it's Taffy, but because it was God. And some of us have heard, I'd love to hear what those children, they hear God. They understand God. They don't question God. But then we start getting out in the world, and the subtlety of Satan brings us away from this simplicity that the writer of Hebrews is trying to tell us, that God speaks. Okay, what's he saying? And what he's saying is, "I love you." Let's just go with that, like I said, before we try to understand the depth of Hebrews and what God is saying to us. It's real easy to understand and to go along with or walk with somebody who loves you, doesn't it? But if somebody doesn't love you and they start telling you, you rebel immediately. But when you know that you know that you know that this individual loves me, we can trust, we can respect, we can respond, we can submit, we can do all of the things that come along with what God is speaking. And he's speaking, "I love you." So let's take that just for a little stroll. Let some of us know. What's John 3:16? Oh, listen to that. "For God so loved..." Eeyore's back. "Oh, God so loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." My gosh, give me a child here today and see if you're willing to do that. That's love. "That whosoever would believe in him would not perish." You're not going to die. You're going to live eternally through his eternal life. Why do we say the scriptures like that? Because we have an alternate worship team and we just sing like this. Man, God is saying, "I love you." You remember when you loved the first person in your life that you loved? You wrote letters, you talked to him, you called on the phone, you just couldn't wait to see him again. What's happening to us? Subtlety. Not getting quiet enough in these days with all the turmoil that's going on around us. And this is not mask, no mask, vaccination, no vaccination, money, no money, more taxes, less taxes. It's none of those. It's just getting quiet enough in the situations that we're in right now to hear, if we're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, this doesn't apply right now. You got to get in there first. Give him your heart. But what is Christ telling me in this? He's got my best interest in this. He's got what's good for me in this. John 10. Oh. I keep that in there to remember, not to always bring my daughter up. God says I love her more than you could have ever. And what he's got ahead is heaven. Anybody ever lose anybody that they love like this? I know you have. I know you have. I know you have. God's saying, I got this. You know why? Because I love you. And you love me. And I'm going to show you that. Listen. Get quiet enough. The subtlety of Satan is trying to say, you put your dad's picture in there. You put your wife's picture, your husband, your child, whatever it is. Satan's trying to say, no, no. Surely that can't be true. God is yelling in that quiet voice in my heart, I love you. I love you. I've got this. John 10, verse 27. I started off with, well, I don't hear him. I never heard God speak. I know there's a lot of us in here today that we have heard God speak. You heard it when you were a little kid. And that's in it. God speaks to the human conscience. Did you take that? No. Give it to me. Mine. Did you do that? No. No. But the kid knows to hide it, to say, God has been speaking to us before the womb, I'm sure. So in John 10, 27, if you haven't heard his voice loud and clear, I feel this is his speech to us. He says, my sheep, not some other God's sheep, not somebody else, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus, God, the Spirit, speaking, I love you. And nothing is going to separate that love. Do we hear that today? What the problem might be, please, I'm begging, just put God in the middle of the problem. And let's start from there. Before we try to understand deep theology that's coming. And there's great things that we do need to understand. I've said it a number of times. It wasn't my statement. I'm sure some great minds said it. But there are areas, depths in the Bible, in the Word of God, that an elephant can drown in. But there are also places where a child can wade in it. We need to understand today when we leave here, God loves me. He's got a great plan for me. So John 1, 1 John, excuse me, chapter 4. I was looking in things, you know, I kept thinking, well, if God is speaking, what's he speaking? And I came up with, he loves me. And then I thought about the word love. And the word love is in the Bible 551 times. And that's not counting beloved, loving, you know, all of the side words that go along with it. Love, 551 times. Phew, think he's trying to tell us something? What is God saying? He's trying to say 551 times, at least in the King James, I love you. Doug, do you hear me? How many more pages do I need to write? I love you. 51 times in just this 1 John, 2nd and 3rd, 51 times he talks about love, and in the Gospel of John, 55 times that he loves us. So God, again, speaking. What's he speaking? He's speaking first and foremost that I love you. I love you. So I said, let's turn to John 4. Listen to this, and let God speak to your heart. Verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. Read 1 Corinthians 13 when you go home. That's the kind of godly love that he has towards us. It's gentle, it's kind, it's patient, it's long-suffering, keeps no record of wrongs, thinks no evil. You know, I mean, that's how God thinks of us in his love towards us. And that's what he's trying to speak to us today. In this, verse 9, we manifest the love of God toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. The whole Trinity just jammed into a few small spots, which all of them love us. Word Trinity isn't in the Bible, Doug. No, but the concept of it is everywhere. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's love, isn't it? What's God speaking? 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love. Huh. What's that about? No fear in love? God again, the God who speaks. If you're in fear today, whatever it might be, marriage, health, finances, my, you know, where I am, the town I'm living in. God says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of love. Huh, there he is again. And power, the Holy Spirit, and a sound mind. The ability to be able to figure it out. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, mature love, God's love casts out, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love or mature. Let's watch that word, perfect. None of us will ever be sinlessly perfect in this life. We love him because he first loved us. What is God saying? If a man say, I love God, we all say that, right? And hateth, and hate's a strong word, but you know, what actually is hate? I don't feel that hate is the opposite of love. When you say, what's the opposite of love? Somebody will say hate. I think the opposite of love is the absence of love. Hate's a whole nother thing. That's a manifestation of not having this. So if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. God is speaking. Are we listening? Are we listening? Let me do one more. Luke 24, I think, is a really good example. In the entertainment part, if you would. You see, this is Jesus telling a story, in a sense. This is the road to Emmaus, as we look at it. And all of us kind of know it, right? It's the two guys that were walking from the crucifixion, and the Lord meets them. But let's look at it today, because I think, or I feel, that we might find ourselves in this position, a way out of the position, and a way to hear God more so than we are now, because he does speak. And I know today that in your problem, in my problem, a lot of people think because I'm the pastor, I'm in like this little glass bubble and I don't have problems. God wants to speak to me in my problem today for the way out, that this is not the end of the story, that there's more to it. He wants to speak to you also today, in the circumstance or the situation that you find yourself in today. God wants to tell you, number one, I love you. And that love will cover a multitude of sin. God wants to tell us within that love, I have plans for each and every one of you. But the way that you're going to find it out, Doug, is by reading my word. This doesn't happen by osmosis. Can't go to bed at night and expect to wake up with all the revelation of God. Can't read the one-minute Bible. I feel like buying every one of those that are on the shelf and throwing them away. Is that all we have for God is 1 minute? Think about how he hung up there for Doug Gibney, for everything I did. When accusations were cast at him, he didn't open his mouth because he loved me enough to take my sin. I'm nobody special. He did that for you. Kalina doesn't sin, right? God loves us so much. And he wants us to read the word, not parts of it, not little pieces. He wants us to just absorb ourselves in the day. If all we have is a minute, he'll respect that. He'll give us something in that. But when we have 3 hours to watch a team going nowhere, and I say that because, you know, I'm a sports guy. I don't hear God speaking. How many times have you watched a crummy movie and you heard, turn that thing off, get, what are you? I'm starting to think that's God. Bugface, he's not telling you to turn off something worthless. Watch it, you deserve it, you earned it today. Anyhow, how do we hear God speak? So Luke 24, let me get to this and apply it. And in verse 13, you all have this in your Bible, but I'd ask you, take it home this week. Let's dig into this. And behold, two of them. So there's two. If it's a husband and wife, think about it that way. Somebody and a friend, think of it that way, however it is. But I think, you know, two is better. The word says that all the time, doesn't it? And what we're hearing from the writer of Hebrews is that Jesus is better, period, amen, and all this stuff. But two is better. When we walk alongside somebody, it's always better to have another one that's in agreement with us. We can build each other up. We can correct, if you would. We can instruct, if you would. You know, we can do those things that God is trying. So here's these two guys went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs, about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. We talk about the administration, the taxes, the CDC, like we really know exactly every point and have studied 3,000 pages of things. That's what we occupy ourselves with. We tell people about what car is better. Don't buy a Ford, buy a Dodge. Don't buy a Dodge, buy a Chevy. Don't buy, you know, that's what we talk about. And I looked this time and I saw these guys walking and talking together all the things which had happened. What would it be like if what we talked about, if our whole conversation as we speak was involved in the great things? What did we hear in that song? Praise the Lord, the great things he has done. If we just talked about, gosh, can you imagine? He loves me enough that he gave his son for me. Can you imagine that he loves me enough that he left heaven to come down here? He loves me enough that he gave his spirit, loves me enough that he'll live inside of me. These are the things we should be talking about. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And see, a lot of us, even us that consider ourselves believers, I feel we don't know him because we're not listening to him. We're listening, but we're not hearing. We're listening, but we're not obeying. Oh, I'll obey in a week or two. I'll obey when I finish the house. I'll obey when I get my husband or wife. I'll obey when I get my IRA in order. They didn't know who he was. And sometimes Jesus, when he comes alongside like this, Jesus himself, it says in 15, drew near and went with them. We don't see him the way, because we feel he's going to be the way I've made him. This is the way that I want this God. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And like I said, simply, Jesus just doesn't look like we expect him to all the time. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? What he's saying is, what's your guy's problem? Why are you so bummed out? And I see Christians today, hands down, hang dog, knees bent, shot, wanting to kill ourselves, some of us, wanting to destroy somebody else. What's happening? God was saying to them, hey, what are you guys saying? And listen how he builds on this. And one of them, whose name was Doug Gibney, said unto them, oh, that's, well, Kathy, Don Johnson, we've got to apply it. And one of those whose name was Cleopas, answering and said unto him, art you only a stranger in Jerusalem, has not known the things which are come to pass that are in these days? And he said unto them, what things? He knows everything that you're going through. He feels everything that you feel. He hears. Remember those idols in the beginning with no ears? They can't talk. They can't smell. They can't. He hears everything. He sees everything. He can touch us right at our very spot. And the problems that he went through, he's looking at those as what things? Because he heard the Father speak that I have a more excellent plan for you. I have a more excellent name for you. So he wasn't worried about this present right now, that it would get him down to a point where he couldn't hear God speak anymore. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. What were they so sad about? Well, it didn't go the way they wanted it. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. That's where we are today, and we're not. But we trusted. No, they didn't. They gave up. And are we, is any of us giving up on God? Or any of us, you know, I have to answer this. I'm not getting on you. What is it you trusted God for? Are you going to continue to walk with him? Are you going to continue to allow him to talk, or are you just going to leave it with? But we trusted that it had been which he should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. My gosh, I've waited 3 days for my finances to get in order. I've waited 3 days for my health to come back. I've waited 3 days for my marriage to be repaired. I've been driving this beater for 2 years. I mean, can we hear when we're there? We can't hear God. We can't hear him speaking. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. Well, they should have. And that's the stuff we should hear. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they'd seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, I mean, all that stuff, we know this just like they knew it. Why do we not let God's voice overpower the things that we know? Why is that? They suck it right out of our soul, doesn't it? Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter his glory? In the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Want to hear God speak? I know I'm making this, but I need to hear it. You want to hear God speak? We got to get all the scriptures, not just the ones we like Ben Franklin made a Bible of all the scriptures he liked. We got to do all the scriptures in context, every one of them, in order to hear God's full statement. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would gone further. For us, God's not answering, you're not hearing him. He hasn't left you. All he did was like slow down. Do you ever do that when you're walking? Slow down, kind of take a look at everything. Maybe look at the people that you're with, see what's going on. God just stepped aside for a moment. He made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. There, you want to hear God speak? Constrain him. Please, Lord, speak. You know, how many times do we hear that? When the servants of the Lord said, here I am, the handmaiden of the Lord, as you say, let it be. Here I am, Jeremiah said, here I am, Lord, speak, and I'll obey. They constrained him, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. There's something about communion. And it's not once a month here at Calvary. It could be every day of your life in your home. It could be water in a saltine cracker. Just have that communion with the Lord. Have that fellowship. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us? By the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. God desires to speak. I feel God desires to speak possibly more with me, and I'll put you in there, than we really want to speak and hear him. So what's Hebrews verse 2 saying to us? Should we go back there for a moment and end with that? Says that God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. He wants to speak to us. Everything that we need to hear comes from Jesus. It's not Jesus and this book of philosophy. It's not Jesus and this extra bit of the world. It's just Jesus. He said he has spoken to us by his Son. Revelation 3:20. Some of us know it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens, or woman, I will come in and sup with you or dine with you. Some of us don't feel that even though God is speaking, we're not worthy of it. But you know what God will bring when he's knocking on that door if you haven't opened it? He was writing that to churches at this time. And I feel he's writing it to us. That I'm knocking at the door. Doesn't matter what you have for dinner right now. Doesn't matter what you have. I'll bring a fare that will, this will be like Babette's Feast. Anybody ever watch that one? If not, Hulu it or something. God will bring something to your table that you would never, ever expect. Call on me. Call on me, he says in Jeremiah, and I will answer. Jeremiah 3:31, that's God's phone number. What he has to say about the scriptures is the best explanation of the scriptures. He didn't speak it eloquently or with some new fanfare and notions, but he was showing that through the scriptures that he was the fulfillment of all of them. He pointed us to studying them, and he's telling us, I love you with an everlasting, undying love. That's what God speaks. Then we can get into all the other stuff, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, transubstantiation. I mean, why do it's necessary to understand theology and doctrine, to understand our God. But unless we understand he loves us, he cares for us, and he wants to speak personally to us, I think we're missing the message. So, Father God, thank you. We are your servants. If there's anyone here that has not given their heart to you, Father God, I would ask you, speak to them. Like the father to the prodigal, run to them and fall on their neck. That was done through love, Father. And I'd ask you to show that same love to that one individual who hasn't heard you speak, Father, who thought maybe the end was not going to be very good for them. Show them how much you love us, Lord. Those of us who do know you, help us to love you, Father. Help us to love you daily. Help us to love one another with your kind of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Come on, worship team. The alternates are gone right now.
Stay up here and sing with
That's because I had the power.